Hello and welcome to our daily check-in here at KBIA, where we're checking in with each other every weekday for community connection, conversation over the airwaves. Thank you for being here. So heading into the weekend, let's take some time over the next half hour to talk about some extracurricular activities in the time of coronavirus. It is Friday, after all. Even though for music enthusiasts, this has been a tough time the last couple of weeks, with heartbreaking news recently, this week's loss of iconic musician John Prine, and last week the passing of singer-songwriter and Fountains of Wayne musician Adam Schlesinger. Columbia Tribune music writer Eric Danielson is going to help us look back on the music of these two artists and chat about music in general during this time. But first up, many of our favorite arts organizations right now have taken their inspirations online, and one of those is Ragtag Cinema. Ragtag's Barbie Banks is here to let us know how we can keep on ragtagging during this time from home. Barbie Banks, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Oh, good. I think many of us are looking forward to hearing how things are going at Ragtag. Let me just give a shout out here to say, listeners, you can join us for a sort of Friday fun discussion today. Let's try to have some fun. What are you looking forward to this weekend? If anything, chances are whatever you're doing, whatever inspirations you're finding, is going to be by remote. So how are you doing that? How are you engaging with your favorite art, music, films during this time? Are you ragtagging from home? And if so, how has that been? Are you listening to a lot of John Prine and sobbing into your beer, like some of you are, I know? Let us know what's on your mind when it comes to inspiration and art. Barbie, first off, the main calendar for Ragtag has gone virtual. It's all online. How is the virtual cinema lineup working out? And how are you all doing at Ragtag?
Yeah, well, we really miss being in our space for sure. Mm-hmm. We have so many Zoom meetings, and you can change your background, and we've all been changing it to a picture of the Willie Wilson Theater, our small cinema. And so, as you can tell, we all miss it a lot. So, and seeing our community, you know, Ragtag is more than a movie theater in that it's such a community space with Uprise and the record store that we just are ready for this to be over. And we feel very lucky that we're still able to engage a lot of our patrons through this, you know, virtual cinema, and that our industry so quickly adjusted to what was happening. Streaming services, not unfamiliar to the movies, but what we do in independent cinema is really try to get people out of their homes and into our seats. And so we had to quickly readjust and change some of our language to get people still engaged in the great films that are out there. So,
okay. Well, are you finding that audiences, you know, casually, a lot of my family members are sharing great film lists. So I know that this is a good time for watching cinema. Are you finding that audiences and your Ragtag membership and your network are migrating and staying with you online?
Yeah, they really are. We have so kind of two different programs going on currently. Well, actually three. One of them is our virtual cinema, which are new releases, and those will be new films every Friday, mm-hmm. kind of like we run normally. Mm-hmm. And we've seen pretty good numbers with those. I think the people that are really, they're a little bit more independent than some of the films we show. And so real cinephiles are the people we're seeing jump on that and watch those films. But this week we have a documentary called Slay the Dragon that I think is going to be more more wide appeal for everybody. So I think we'll see higher numbers with that. But then we're doing kind of live watch-alongs with
yes.
films that people that work for Ragtag are ones that used to work here who are now in LA have picked, and they're doing live commentary with them. And that we're seeing even better numbers with that, just because I think people want to interact with the staff that they're used to seeing, you know, on a Saturday night. And so that gives them a chance to do that. And this week we're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. So we're not too highbrow
right.
at Ragtag. And so, and with those, it's been really fun to see everybody interacting, you know, talking about the bartenders that they miss from Uprise and what they would be ordering if they were there, and mm-hmm. And just seeing our bumper play for everybody through that program is kind of cool to, you know, hear that music and be brought back to the cinema. So,
all right.
Which is cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, well, let's hear a little bit more about this. But first, let me just say you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA. We're talking about virtual cinema and live watch-alongs. So, of course, we're talking with Ragtag Cinema's Barbie Banks. Barbie, tell us again, what is the live watch-along and how can people get involved in that if they want to do that?
Yeah, so we're trying to do one every Saturday. It's kind of a two-system watch. So you'll pull up the film that we've picked either on this week's is on Netflix or Amazon or whatever streaming platform you prefer. And then you'll also have your computer open to a program called Twitch. And it's a site that's mostly used by gamers to live, you know, play a game and have other people watch. But we are taking it over. And so you'll follow along on Twitch and watch the movie at the same time on your television. And the commentary comes through Twitch. It's a three-person, I feel like it's sort of like Mystery Science Theater, but with a Midwest flair. And so we have, and it's free and open to anybody. This week's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, while it's a kids movie, we're doing it a little later because the commentary isn't always G-rated. So
okay,
the film
yeah.
starts at 9 o'clock. There's pre-show commentary and kind of getting to know the Ragtag staff info starting at 8:30 on Twitch. And
right.
if you go to our Ragtag website, there's our graphic designer has made a really cute little graphic to show you exactly the steps you need to play along with us with this. So
okay, so what I'm hearing in a lot of what you're saying, Barbie, is some routine, which so many of our guests, psychologists, psychiatrists, have said, how you get by right now is by routine. And I find this with my family, like a Friday night dinner out at home is a good idea. And I feel like a Friday night Ragtag screening,
yeah.
a Saturday watch along, these are things that can easily be incorporated into a family like mine, or even especially a person who's on their own right now. To kind of have some community and some fun happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what we hope happens. And
good.
We've seen a lot of the same people participating, and you know, even some of our regulars that we're used to seeing in the space are then joining us online, which is pretty great.
Fantastic. Barbie, there's another whole thing that really is the main thing that we, I think, initially wanted to ask you about, which is Ragtag Cinema at Home. You've got a lot for families going on. It involves Canopy. What is going on with Ragtag Cinema at Home? Can you give us the rundown?
Yeah.
On that?
So we have an education department that does amazing work, and we typically, you know, do field trips from the schools to Ragtag where we show films and talk about it. And since we can't do that, we developed a program where parents can do that with their kids at home. So through Canopy, which is the free streaming service at the library, we have picked several films. There's three of them currently in use that we've paired curriculum with them. So there's everything from fake movie tickets so you can play Ragtag at home or to coloring sheets to more in-depth questions that you can discuss movies with your children. And then each week we'll be adding another film to that folder of resources. And so next week is a film that is more geared towards high school students called Faces Places. It's a documentary. And then we'll do some middle school content and then back to some elementary stuff. So there's instructions on how to sign up for a library card in there, which they're still allowing people to do, even though the library is not open, and how to get your library card connected to Canopy. And Canopy is an amazing service with amazing films on there that you'll recognize from True False and ones that have been at Ragtag. So,
right.
And our education department created all this curriculum that is really about teaching kids how to watch movies and take in media, which is all over them now.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of learning where the sources of that media is and are from, and how to, you know, not be fooled by any of the media that's in our lives. So it's pretty great.
Media literacy through fun film activities sounds like a really good idea right now.
Yes.
you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA, and we're talking to Ragtag Cinema's Barbie Banks. Barbie, we have a couple of calls coming in, so if you can hang on with us, let's see what some of our callers want to say and join in today. We've got Larry from Ashland calling. Larry, you're on The Check-In. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, hi. So I'm involved in a project that is kind of spanning all the counties between Columbia and St. Louis, where they're organizing people to 3D print personal protective gear. Most of this is going to police departments, fire departments, dentists, sort of the next layer down of people below the medical staff that needs the really, you know, heavy duty stuff where they're directly dealing with patients. But these are people that may well come in contact with somebody that's ill and, or may have to transport them, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, clear face shields and Montana masks that are able to take an N95 and turn it into six masks. It's a printed thing with a little frame in it that allows you to make each piece of protective gear go farther.
Yeah.
And a couple of other things. So I'm getting a lot of kind of gratification out of doing something right now. You just
yes.
want to do something. You know, there's a lot of people sewing cloth masks for people so that people can protect themselves and protect others. And a lot of us are doing this kind of thing. It's very, very satisfying. It feels like we're actually making a difference.
That sounds fantastic, Larry. Thank you for sharing what you're doing this weekend. And I have a feeling yours might be the most productive call that we get from it.
Anyway.
So well done with that. I think, you know, that's fantastic. You said that you were working with someone for these 3D printing projects, and I've heard about this. Who are you working with? Who's organizing this?
There's a woman from Montgomery City that has started a Facebook group. Called Rural 3D Printing for COVID Response, something like
that.
Those keywords will get you to the site, and it's organizing people in several counties between Columbia and St. Louis, mostly rural areas, mostly areas with, you know, volunteer fire departments that are not as well funded as, say, you know, Columbia Hospital or something, have less access to PPE. We've had requests definitely from some dentists, definitely from some other, you know, outfits that really do need to have N95 equipment, but, you know, can't afford it.
Right.
And I was just delivering some to the Ashland Volunteer Fire Department. And there's some going to the police department here and some small medical clinics, that kind of thing. So,
well, thank you for sharing this, Larry. So it sounds like people can find this if they kind of put in some of those keywords, 3D printing, rural, PPE, on the Facebook.
The other Facebook page that's useful if somebody knows how to sew is called Sew for Safety, and they're organizing a lot of people to distribute cloth masks that are well made and have a very good pattern, and they're organizing materials so people can get materials, things like that. So,
all right, those are great, great productive ways to spend the weekend, like you say, Larry, feeling like you're doing something, which is really healthy right now. Thanks for the call, Larry.
Mm-hmm. All right, good.
And actually, Barbie, if you don't mind taking a little time, let's go to a second caller. We've got Caitlin calling from Columbia. Caitlin, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You're on with Barbie Banks and me here on the Check-In on KBIA. What have you got going on this weekend?
So we actually are doing a virtual comedy open mic. So I am part of the Columbia comedy group. And so this is really exciting. It's the first time we've ever done this. So what we're doing is the show's going to be called Hi, Hello, Welcome Home. And it's going to be available through Facebook Live via the Social Room Facebook page. And it's tomorrow night, so April 11th at 8 p.m. And so if you're not familiar with the comedy scene in Columbia, normally we have an open mic night on Mondays at the Social Room and Tuesdays at Eastside Tavern. Unfortunately, both of those places are closed right now. So we're actually trying to promote a couple things. First of all, comedy in Columbia. Second, Social Room does have Get Rad food. They are doing delivery and carry out, and they have some really great food like pizzas, nachos, hot dogs, lots of really delicious stuff. And then Eastside Tavern is kind of the foundation of local comedy, and so they have a fundraiser going to save Eastside and, you know, really keep that business thriving because they don't serve food, so they have no other source of income currently. That's what we're doing. We're really excited to do this. We're going to have some of the most popular comedians in Columbia, Micah Jeffries, Nick Gorgeous, Lisa Pockets. This is not a PG show, so whoever's listening, make sure that it's recommended for adults only unless you don't mind your kids having, like, you know, possibly sexual themes, things like that, because, you know, it is comedy.
Which even if the parents mind, you do mind. So please don't bring kids.
to be honest with you, like I grew up watching comedians when I was a kid, and that made me who I am.
Okay.
But I don't be able to tune in and go, oh, this is kid friendly, when right. It's definitely not.
Right.
But, you know, who am I to say what their family does? So,
okay.
But it's definitely going to be a good source of entertainment for
people.
Well,
yes, Caitlin, thank you so much for calling in with that. Virtual comedy with Eastside and the Social Room. Sounds like a really good thing to know about. Thanks for calling us with that.
Yeah, of course. If they want to find it to follow the event, it's Hi, Hello, Welcome Home on Facebook.
Okay.
And then they'll be able to subscribe to the live event.
Okay. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. Good luck with it. All right, Barbie Banks, we are almost out of time. I had a couple more questions, but our callers are sort of first priority here, and they had a lot to say. So thank you for getting us inspired and engaged and telling us. I think we actually did manage to hit a lot of the points. We've got the live watch-alongs. We've got the Ragtag Cinema at Home with Canopy for the kids. Those sound amazing. Thank you again, Barbie Banks, Ragtag Cinema.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, and stay in touch. We'll have you on again. And now let's go to the next topic of the day that we want to check in with Eric Danielson, Columbia Tribune music writer, on some of the iconic musicians and then singer-songwriter Adam Schlesinger, who unfortunately have passed because of the coronavirus in the last couple of weeks. So we want to just kind of look back on their music. Eric Danielson, thanks for coming on the check-in today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Janet. I appreciate it.
So let me ask generally, Eric, what are you seeing in mid-Missouri with musicians generally during this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, creative people tend to find a way to problem solve creatively, you know, and so there's certainly a lot of artists who have found ways, whether it's just simply, you know, posting videos of themselves performing from home or kind of, you know, innovating new ways to get in touch with their audiences using social media really well. There's a lot of local bands that have put out records in the last month or so that I'm sure they didn't, you know when they planned to release them, that everybody was going to be at home, but it in mm-hmm. some way works out nicely because you can stream their records through Bandcamp or Spotify and have something new and fresh to listen to, you know, while everybody's kind of shut up inside. So, there's been a lot of movement in that way, and it's been cool to see folks just kind of find new ways to reach out.
Is there a favorite new release or local release that you've been paying attention to?
I mean, there's been some really good ones. I wrote in the paper Thursday, about the new one from John Galbraith's trio called Everyday Nowhere, which has been really good. And then I actually just started listening to, I'm planning to review this one later in the month, but the new record from the Columbia group Maxito Lindo, which is Max Rubio Garcia's band, is on Bandcamp, and it's really, really good. The name of the record is escaping me right now, but Maxito Lindo is the band, and that's a really interesting, really textured, lush record that I think people would really dig. So
very cool, and people can check that out too in your writing, I think. Eric, let me ask you, because we only have a little bit of time left,
sure.
About these two musicians. It's really heartbreaking to lose John Prine, but then also the, you know, singer-songwriter Adam Schlesinger, who I know from the TV series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, with his really clever, humorous writing, which he also brought to the project, his music band Fountains of Wayne. We have one of his kind of hit songs, I think Radiation Vibe, kind of cued that we might try to bring up here and play for a minute. But what strikes you and what's your reaction to the loss of Adam Schlesinger?
Yeah, that's one, you know, I mean, he was, you know, 52, which is just so young. And, you know, Sounds of Lambing was one of those bands that, you know, I think every decade since the Beatles had kind of this band that was just kind of this power pop band that really just wrote these smart kind of catchy songs that, that, you know, anybody could kind of find something in. And I think for kind of the 90s through the early 2000s, that band was Fountains of Wayne. And just seeing how much he did, whether it's, you know, the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend stuff that you mentioned, or he wrote, you know, the theme song for the Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do, just everything he touched seemed to be really, just really smart, really thoughtful. And yeah, you just expect somebody like that to have several decades of music left under their belt. And so, you know, you kind of begin to mourn, you know, what might have been, I guess, when somebody like that passes away.
Absolutely. Let's, Takiya Thomas has brought the music on for us. Let's take a minute and just listen to an example of what you're talking about, Eric. So yeah, you can hear Fountains of Wayne, really tight construction and composing. Like you said, Eric, just really smart music going on there, and also just really happy, you know?
Yeah, they're one of those bands that the lyrics, you know, if you hear the lyrics out of context, they are kind of in a lot of ways really melancholy and very, you know, ironic in some ways, but they're paired just perfectly with this music that's bright and poppy and bouncy, and it was, you know, I don't want to call it a formula, but it was quite a combination.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, if we need a lift, we can go back and have a listen to some of that Fountains of Wayne, or certainly the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend songs, the, you know, the antidepressants one, the Emmy work that he did are the things that really stand out to me. I was very aware of his work and the humor in it without realizing it. And then it was just, you know, a little bit even more sad to kind of realize that we'd lost him. But he leaves a lot of great music behind. So there's that. Let's talk about the other big loss, Eric. John Prine. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What do you think? Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that one's so tough because Prine, I mean, obviously was a couple decades older, and he hadn't always been well, but he had kind of had this resurgence in the last decade or so, and, you know, had made some really great records, and obviously had been at Roots and Blues here in Columbia several times, and had kind of been championed by a lot of younger songwriters like Jason Isbell, who brought Prine's music to a different generation. And, you know, like I said, even though he hadn't been well always the last few years, he was making such great music that you thought, you know, maybe he has another decade of great music left. And he's one of those guys that just the musical persona, whether he's inhabiting a character or, you know, I guess just being himself, I mean, he sounds like a guy that you would just know, you know, in your neighborhood or would run into at the store. And I think just that friendliness to his work, that intimacy to his work, just makes that loss feel a lot more real to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did some great duets with Iris DeMent, who I kind of associate with Missouri for some reason, but I saw her at the Blue Note in this beautiful sort of candlelit cabaret seating sort of concert. And we're listening underneath Takiya's Come Through with some John Prine with Iris DeMent for us. Let's take a moment and just listen to this.
Anywhere the big door prize. We're gonna spat our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes.
So that's John Prine with the Midwestern singer Iris DeMent, another great artist. We actually reached out to Ms. DeMent to see if she'd like to join us to talk for a while, and they said maybe soon, but she's just a little broken up right now, as many of us are. Any other thoughts about John Prine or either of these musicians, Eric? But we're on John Prine now. What else? What are some of your favorites that you've kind of been going back to, if you can handle it at the moment?
Sure. I just always think, about, I came to Prine's music a little bit late, really just in the last half decade or so. And getting to see him that first time when he was at Roots and Blues and hearing him just by himself deliver the song Hello in there and just have it feel like he just kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. There was a very physical, palpable thing to it where it was almost like he was reaching out from the stage and just kind of holding your hand a little bit. Mm. That memory, I haven't actually gone back and listened to his records yet, but that memory has been something that's been on my mind a lot this last week. And just remembering how affected I was by hearing that song live for the first time. So that's one of those things that, you know, that only music can do is kind of plant a memory like that you know, no one can ever take away from you. And that's something I've been thinking a lot about in the past few days.
Eric, that's a great memory. Thank you for sharing that. I have a feeling a lot of our listeners and Roots and Blues fans, I'm thinking about Tracy Lane out there too, you know, probably have memories like that. We've got another call. Eric, let's take a call from Jacob, who is with the band Loose Loose, which is very well known. Jacob, thanks for calling into us.
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind right now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of things, actually. I guess, you know, this is a crazy time. But, you know, I was hearing you guys talk about Roots and Blues, and I was kind of lamenting on, you know, the festivals that we've lost this summer and the shows that we've lost. It's been a tough thing. You know, obviously, Loose Loose is, you know, we're planning tours and stuff like that, and now that's kind of put on hold. So it's a difficult time for musicians, but it is nice to, you know, to think about, like, hopefully in fall these things will be back, and maybe we'll even catch Roots and Blues, like, on its, you know, actual date.
Yes. Jacob, thank you so much for calling in and sharing this. I know we have a lot of Loose Loose listeners and fans out there that are listening to KBIA. How can we support Loose Loose?
So, I mean, Loose Loose as a band, we started a Patreon. And so that's for people who don't know, a Patreon is it's essentially like a feed where, you know, you pledge anywhere from like five to whatever you want to pledge dollars per month, and it goes like directly to the band, and you kind of get a inside look on what we're doing. We'll post like blogs and behind the scenes videos as we're, you know, slowly one by one recording our next EP. And we are also posting exclusive like first access to videos and songs. We've got a whole beat tape coming out that is just going to be exclusive to Patreon.
Okay.
Jacob, that's a really easy way to
okay.
help us out.
Thank you for letting us know that, Jacob, and thank you for joining the discussion. We need to have you back to talk a little bit more about music. But unfortunately, we are past out of time with our show. So thank you, Jacob. Take care. Jacob is with Loose Loose. Eric Danielson, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Come back. Thanks for sharing all your great music thoughts and memories. That's it for the check-in on KBIA. Thank you for being there. We are going to go out with some more John Prine and Iris DeMent. They are not the Jet Set, and that's what they're singing about. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
In Athens, you said you loved me too.
And it was April in Paris when I first held you close to me.
Rome, Georgia,
Athens, Texas, and Paris, Tennessee. No, we're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet Set. There's no Riviera in Festus, Missouri, and you won't find Onassis in Merlinville, Kansas. No, we're not the Jet Set, we're the old Chevrolet Set, but ain't we got love